In this week's episode, Jenny Stone and Katie Singer discussed the recent announcement that the DDRB have recommended a pay increase for both salary doctors and GP partners. They discuss what we know so far and what practices might be expecting as uplifts in the coming months.
Accountancy on Prescription by RBP. One of the leading firms of medical specialist accountants. We know what you find tough, but don't you worry, as we know our stuff.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Accountancy on Prescription. I'm Jenny Stone, one of the partners at RBP, and I am joined today with Katie. Hi, Katie, how are you?
Hi, Jen. I'm actually poorly, but for the purpose of the podcast, I'll say I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Well, I'm really good because I'm going on holiday. So, Today, well, Katie, can you believe it? It's our 2-year anniversary of recording podcasts. We started our podcast 2 years ago talking about the DDRB recommendation, and here we are 2 years later talking about the same subject, but I feel like it's a bit more positive. So, Katie, do you want to talk through what has actually been announced?
So we're recording this on the 2nd of August. On the 30th of July, we heard an announcement that the DDRB recommended an uplift in salary GP and, this was the interesting bit of the announcement, GP partner pay of 6%. That was the recommended pay rise, which, as we heard, is going to be awarded. So, of course, our instant thought was, well, what does that mean? How much is that going to be transpired into GPs' income? So already this year, the pay rise, in inverted commas, pay rise that practices have had on their global sum was 1.9%. So we'll call it 2%. So up until this point in the year, up until the 30th of July, clients that have been asking me, what should we do about pay rises, Katie? I've said, well, you've had 2% so far. So if you're looking to give a pay rise, you're probably looking at 2%. However, we knew that the DDRB uplift was imminent. And yet it popped through on the 30th of July, 6%. I'll be honest with you, Jen, I was quite surprised. Were you expecting that high?
I was surprised. I think I'd had conversations like you, Katie, conversations with practices where I've been saying, well, do 2% because that's what you've been given. And given that the DDRB announcements have kind of meant that staff and salaried GPs have had pay rises, but the partners haven't. And I've had clients that I was kind of dreading it a little bit. I was like, oh gosh, what's salaried GPs pay going to go up by? So I was really, really pleased that finally they've recognised partners. And the fact that probably over the last, 5 years, GP partners have had really pay cuts because what's gone in their global sum hasn't been anywhere near enough to cover pay rises and obviously dealing with the inflation at the level it has been. So yeah, it's very positive.
It is positive. And as we go further through, we'll look at some real numbers and real comparisons to see what it means. But it's the first time in the last sort of 3 big pay rise recommendations that the GP partners themselves have actually been recognised.
Yeah, absolutely, Katie, because we've been stuck with this kind of 5-year deal that got agreed back in 1920 that was kind of fixed uplifts to the global sum. So, of course, this is why we've seen the trend of partners' profits falling. And obviously, last year when they announced the 6% pay rise, as you know, we recorded a previous episode on this, that the funding that they announced the 6% pay rise last year for all NHS staff. And of course, they said it was going to be funded. But Katie, you and I both know that actually when the funding finally got announced in the October, it was very clear straight away that there wasn't even enough money for some practices to actually give 6% to all their staff. And I don't know about you, Katie, but I had lots of practices that didn't actually, obviously salary GPs were given the full 6%, but for the rest of the staff, they couldn't necessarily afford to. So I had practices that were sort of giving about 4.5% because they were saying, well, by the time you add 28% on costs on top of that, that kind of comes to 6%. So yeah, this is obviously, hopefully we will have to wait and see how it will be funded, but hopefully that does mean more funding will come through the global sum.
Yeah, and I think the on costs always get individuals. So individuals listening that are salaried or employed might not fully appreciate that when a practice adds on costs, 28%, so nearly 30%, which is pushing a third of your salary or the salary is added on top as a cost. And that is a much higher proportion than you would find in any private sector. So it really, really is a high cost that gets added on. And I think that is, I certainly don't think it was taken into account last year with the last year's 6% uplift, because the amount that practices would have got going back to last year. So you were given £2.50 in the April. So that was April 2023. And then you were effectively given another £2.50 backdated, which is £5 per patient, which equated to about 4.8%. It didn't even hit the 6% that you needed to be able to pass on.
Yeah.
And really, when you add on costs, like Jenny said, 28%, actually, you need an 8% increase in your global sum to be able to actually cover a 6% pay rise.
And what happened, Katie, last year was those practices that did give 6% is there was nothing left of that global sum to, you know, the total increase to then fund the running costs. Because we have to remember that the increases in the global sum are supposed to cover not just staff pay rises, but the running costs of the practice. And of course, with inflation, where we've had inflation at 10%, those running costs we have seen have increased. You know, heat and light has gone up massively. So I agree this is welcome, that the 6% is going to be for salary GPs, and that finally partners are being recognised. And hopefully that will start to kind of mean that there will be a much bigger increase in the global sum. But Katie, we don't know what that amount is going to be. I've had a couple of clients already email me to say, oh, Jenny, on the back of the announcement, do we give staff pay increase of 6%? I've said to them, hold off, we don't actually know what the funding is going to be. And I still feel until we see, it's all great news, but until we see the actual numbers and we actually can understand how much extra this does actually mean for practices, I'm kind of recommending that people wait.
I think definitely wait. I mean, so we found out this news, as I said, on Tuesday. We're recording this Friday. We've been talking about that we're going to quickly pop on and record this. Between now and then, as you know, Jen, there's been a letter that has come out so far to NHS from Wes Streeting. And in his letter, he does imply that there will be an additional 4% uplifted into the contract. So in normal terms, he's written that there's been a 2% uplift, which is what you saw in your global sum. He's now referring to another 4%. So one would assume there is going to be another 4% going in, which is around probably £4.50.
Yeah, I reckon it'll be about £5.50. If we work on that, the 2% uplift gave an extra £2.80 this year. Mm-hmm. So if we work on a sort of an extra 4%, you know, we could be looking at another sort of £5 to £6 being added to the global sum. But as I said, I want to see the detail. I feel like the devil's in the detail, because I think when they announced last year 6% and it will be fully funded, you and I know, Katie, we did loads of calculations, didn't we, for those practices?
Yes.
And it was very clear it wasn't fully funded. So any practices that gave that full 6%, which wasn't funded, it was being paid out of partners' profits. So you might hope that we will have an announcement, hopefully fairly soon, to say maybe that an additional amount in the increase in the global sum might be something like £5. And Wes does say in that letter, he does say that they're going to work with the BMA to implement the uplift to the contract as soon as possible. You know, Katie, we didn't get the announcements. So last year, the DDRB announced it in July. Practices didn't get that funding until, was it the November? I think it was November that they didn't actually get that, October, November, that they didn't actually get that extra funding.
It was supposed to be September. It was delayed. It then was That's October. Right. So what was strange was the actual funding did go up in September, but the backdated amount,
yes,
which was the bit between April and August, didn't hit the practices until the October, and some practices November, depending on when your personal pay run is. If you're a practice where you get your monthly statements before the 15th of the month, there's not many of you, but there will be some. You guys didn't make the October run and yours hit in the November. So it was a really delayed period. And of course, if you've given a backdated pay rise in the September when the announcement came to your staff, you've paid the money out, but you haven't got the money back in yet. So yes, it was a bit unfair that the amount of time they made it delayed, but hopefully it will come through sooner rather than later. And again, hopefully it will be backdated to April. Although again, we don't actually know that.
It does actually say, Katie, that it will be backdated to April 24. So it has been confirmed that when they do decide how much the global sum will go up by, it will get backdated to April. So I think it will be very similar to how it was last year, that you'll get a backdated amount. And then obviously the global sum will go up after that backdated amount is paid. It's just, Katie, I want to know how much is, how much pounds is actually going to increase, is going to be given to practices. And I'm sure, just like we did last year, we'll probably end up recording another podcast episode. Hopefully it's all going to be good news. Katie, just one of the other things that was mentioned in that letter is that they're going to reopen the PCN DES for the ARS money for 24-25 to extend the ARS funding for GPs. So Katie, you and I know that, you know, as we've been going around to practices, practices are saying that, you know, we've got locums that are sort of looking for work, and a lot more of my practices are saying, we put an advert out for salary GP and we get lots of applicants. This is the first time in as long as I can remember that we have, how we have a surplus of GPs that are not in work. So the letter goes on to say that they're going to make a new ring-fenced funding available to PCNs for GP roles. And I think the figure that I've seen sort of being spoken about is that there's going to be a further 82 million added to the ARS roles. So that will be funding that PCNs can tap into and use to employ salaried GPs.
And I think they've mentioned they want to bring in 1,000 new doctors, is it?
Yes, I think it was 1,000 more doctors. So whether we have 1,000 more doctors available, I don't actually know. But I do know that, you know, I've got some locum clients that say, you know, that they're struggling to find work. So
I think it'll be very interesting, actually, to see how this works in practice. Again, this is all announcements, so we don't know yet. But you're right, it's the first time this ARS role has been shifted to a doctor. And what that will actually mean, how PCNs will manage that and how practices will be able to manage the usage in their own practices of the PCN salary GP. So I think there will be lots of discussions going on at the moment, I'm sure. And once we hear a bit more about that, I think there is going to be, yes, it will be an in, it will be an interesting year, I think, Jennifer.
Yes, yes. But hopefully some of those really difficult meetings that we've had talking about practice profits dropping and how practices are struggling, hopefully maybe things are starting to turn. Let's see.
Yeah. And actually talking about practice profits and numbers, although it's very difficult in a podcast to get numbers across, so we'll put the document that I'm just about to talk about in the show notes so you can see what we're referring to. But just before we started recording this podcast, I quickly put together some numbers of what this pay rise has meant in real terms. So 2 years ago, the announcement was the pay rise for salaried doctors, effectively, we'll just sort of aim this at salaried doctors, was 4.5%. And that was contractual. Effectively, it was supposed to be awarded, although discretionary. Last year, again, it was hinted that it was for everybody, but again, depending on your contracts, was 6%. So we've got 4.5%, then 6%. And now the current recommendation is 6%. So in 3 years, the recommended pay rise has been 16.5%. Jen, we quickly looked at inflation over the last 3 years, didn't we? And it was roughly 16%, I think.
Roughly
16%. So there is the justification behind these pay rises. So it's really positive in an inflationary sense for the salaried doctors this applied to. What was very difficult for our clients and for general practice as a whole is salaried GPs in practice are not paid a fixed rate as one is on any other agenda for pay scale. So practices themselves determine how much they pay their salaried doctors. And around two and a half years ago, the average rate of a salaried GP salary was probably somewhere in the region of £10,000 a session, maybe 9,750 to 10. Whereas, and I know it's very difficult to compare because we're not comparing like with like. However, the very highest level agenda for pay scale, so level 9, that agenda for pay scale started at 9,500, so specifically 9,514. So we'll just call it 9.5 grand for ease, and you can see the numbers on screen. If you uplift that 9.5 grand by the 16.5% we're at, that takes you to about just over 11,000 a session. Many of you listening now will think, okay, that's a reasonable rate for a salary GP to be paid. But in real terms, on what GP practices were already paying their clients, which was an average practice was paying about 10,000. That takes that current uplift now to 11,700. And when a practice add on costs on, that's costing a practice 15,000 a session. So it's a lot more. Many of our practices, and especially the clients that we deal with specifically at RBP, are London-based. And as you know, with London waiting, many wages are slightly higher. We already had lots of clients who were paying their salaried doctors $11,000 a session. So those doctors who were being paid $11,000 a session 2 years ago, they are just shy of being paid, if they've had these full increases, $13,000 a session.
Wow.
And what that is doing is that is bridging the differential between a salaried doctor and a partner, because we've just said, Jenny, the partners, and you know, if you're listening and you're a GP partner, you have not had an inflationary pay rise. Yeah. Yes, during COVID, you had some income that supported you and that I think really band-aided and buffered your profits. But when that money dried up and ended last year, we all noticed practice profits drop. And so that is why this is so important, that this funding does go into the global sum.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Katie. And I think to sort of think about that sort of salary GPs could be moving on to sort of, you know, between sort of 12 to 13,000 a session, plus by the time you add on the on cost, you know, if you're at the top end, you're paying nearly sort of 16,500, 17,000 a session. For some GP practices, they'll be out there going, well, as a partner, I'm not earning that much more than that. Mm. But the workload differential is huge, is absolutely huge. So, and this is more, Katie's numbers are a real reflection to say, yes, salary GPs, if you've got a DDRB contract, which means you're going to have the uplifts that have been awarded, you've had, over those 3 years, you've had pretty much an inflation uplift. GP partners haven't. And so, although I kind of highlighted Katie Wes Streeton's letter, he says, I welcome the above inflation 6% recommendation for GPs and their staff. And I kind of thought, okay, it might be above inflation now, but GP partners haven't had anywhere near inflation when inflation was sitting at 10%. GP partners can say, well, I haven't had a 16% pay rise in over the three years. So yeah, I think the numbers are is very interesting, Katie, but we'll put that into the show notes.
Yeah. And I mean, we can't share the same figures for partners, but in real terms, partners' numbers have actually stayed static. So yes, the number that a partner was earning 3 years ago is the exact same number as a partner is earning this year, which is static.
Yes.
And so there has been no pay rise. What that means going forward, now that there's the uplift, we're hopeful that it'll go up. And this is why, you know, you hear all the time individuals saying we've had a true drop, which is the case. If inflation's gone up by 16% and you're earning the same amount now you were 3 years ago, you've had a pay cut.
Yes.
So it's really, really difficult. So we do want to make sure that practices pass on this pay rise, because it is recommended and it is right. But also, it's so important that that funding comes through. And I'm really pleased to see that Wes Streeting has taken on board the fact that there are on costs, the understanding that it's not just salaried doctors that need to be looked after in this situation. It is the partners who are, well, facilitating these roles to be available.
Yes. And as I said, Katie, you would hope the funding is going to be there and we don't have a repeat of last year. So I'm really recommending to people that they just wait until the funding gets announced. I still think, just like we spoke about last year in the podcast, you still need to work through those numbers, because if the funding isn't enough, if you're giving your staff, your salaried GPs, all a 6% uplift, it's going to eat into the extra money that is supposed to be for partners. So I do really think that practices just, you know, if you're looking at this, and I know last year practices all said to me, there was a huge amount of pressure from nurses, Royal College of Nursing saying, no, you're entitled to this. But what about if you are a practice struggling, your profits are massively dropped, the funding isn't enough, how can you afford to then pay 6%? So I still think that waiting for the actual amount to see what is the global sum going up by. Last year, we did lots of figures for clients where we worked out what that would mean in terms of extra income. And then we also worked out kind of what does the uplift actually cost. So I think people, now that you're looking at it, it's worth looking at what it's going to cost you. I know I had quite a number of practices that have given 2%. So obviously, just bear in mind, it's not 6% on top of the 2% you've already given. So yeah. And then I don't know about you, Katie, but I've had people ask whether the pay rise should also go to, say, people that are on minimum wage, because obviously minimum wage has gone up by 9%. So I have some practices that will actually put the minimum wage up by 9% and have also given a further pay rise on top of that.
Yeah, I mean, this is sort of a side conversation, but the one thing that is very noticeable in the last 2 years is that because minimum wage has increased in line with inflation, what's happening is within practices, the differential between individuals who are on minimum wage and the individuals who are just one level up is getting smaller and smaller. So those individuals who not necessarily were intended to get this 6% pay rise, because this really is just for salaried doctors and partners, there has had to have been a pay rise, because if a minimum wager is getting a 9.5% pay rise and somebody else is only getting 2%, that gap is getting smaller and smaller, and you're ending up with staff being paid the same, even though you need to have slight distinction between their roles. So it is getting harder. And I know from conversations with practices, there have been more pay rises than the headlines would say, because they're having to give more pay rises because the differential needs to be kept slightly further apart.
Absolutely, Katie. And I've had that conversation so many times where minimum wage has gone up by 9%. The people just above it are not sitting that much higher than what reception are on. And so practices are feeling like they've got to then put them up by a certain amount. So I think, as I said, I think my feeling is we wait and see how much money is actually going to go into the global sum. And as we talked about last year, Katie, practices run the numbers, work out what you want to give, work out what it's going to cost you, and then kind of let's see what funding actually comes in through the global sum.
If listeners scroll back to the last podcast we did about the recommendation, it would have been probably this time last year, there was a table in the show notes. We used actual data. We anonymized it, obviously, but we showed for all our practices what the increase was, which last year, as I mentioned, was £5 per patient. And for all of the practices who gave, if you were to give a 6% pay rise, if you would break even or if you'd be in a loss situation, and that table, we did make it available. So it might be worth going back. Obviously, for clients, like Jenny said, if you're considering giving a pay rise and you want to know what it means in real terms, as soon as we know the number, we'll be able to do the exact same calculation for you this year. Obviously, we can't put it in this episode's show notes because we haven't done the data yet, but I'm sure there'll be an opportunity later on for us to do so.
Yeah, Katie, that episode we did, so I think we recorded one about the uplift announcement and then we recorded a further one. So it's season one, episode 32. So latest update regarding the global sum uplift in respect of staff pay rises. So that one was where we referred to the numbers, because that's when we got the announcement about how much the global sum was going to go up by. And I'm sure, Katie, as soon as we get that announcement, we will hop on and record another podcast episode.
And our only saving grace is when we had that announcement last year, they didn't give any percentages or figures. They just said it will be. Whereas this year, in the letter, which we'll put the letter as well, the letter says an additional 4% on top of the 2%. So that implies that the funding should be there at the, whatever you said, it might be £5
might be five,
per patient.
Yeah.
That would be fantastic.
Let's hope so.
Fingers crossed.
Okay. I don't think there's anything else we need to say at the moment, Katie, is there?
No. So we'll just update you through the year as we hear more.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you so much, Katie, for making time today to get this recorded. We hope you've enjoyed listening. Please share this podcast with any of your colleagues and rate and subscribe it. See you soon. Bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to RBP's Accountancy on Prescription podcast. For any updates, please visit www.rbp.co.uk or follow us on Twitter at RBPCA. The contents of this podcast is for general guidance and informational purposes only and does not constitute any form of advice. The information provided by RBP is of a general nature. Appropriate and tailored advice or independent research should be obtained before making any decisions. RBP does not accept any liability for any loss or damage which is incurred from you acting or not acting as a result of listening to Accountancy on Prescription.